Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. That all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that we are nothing, and without you here with us, Father, there would be nothing to say, Father. Lord, we know that the hour that we live in, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just bless our hearts with your word. The questions that the brothers have asked, Father, that they may be edifying to your body now, we pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. I will finish the second half of Brother Brian's sermon this morning. We'll go ahead and go back over question number six. Dear Pastor, in his sermon, Birth Pains, the prophet said, these men, if they take this and that they go with it, they will be able to give it more meaning. You see, to bring it to a point where I just want to deposit this seed, but I hope they will make it come to life. Amen. That's our job here on earth, is to preach the gospel. And if God is not in you, the seed's not been planted, and it isn't bringing forth life, then there's no way you can manifest God. Amen? And that's all of our jobs, not only just the preachers, all the way down to the person that greets you at the door. Does this mean there are preachers that will give more meaning to the message that the prophet himself? Answer to question number six, yes. He said in the church age book, Sumerian church age. In every age, we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain era, and then from that messenger there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those that go out do not always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or a spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word out of you, or came it unto you only? Those are questions from Paul. They add here, they take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice. For the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had been given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by the way of his messengers, and then to say what he has said, is given them to say to the churches. So yes, the Son of Man can come. Man came to sow seed, but those men who have been faithfully taught bring it to light and will bring the church to a complete manifestation of that word. This can be seen in the scripture of the parable of the Son of Man coming to sow a seed, as it was seen in Matthew 13:1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some had 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But so whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and they hearing hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's hearts is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, for your ears they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and in to hear those things which you have heard, hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was not sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doth for a while, for when the tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant saith unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them into bundles, to burn them, but to gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in its branches thereof. Another parable spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemies that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As soon as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather unto out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Truly are blessed to have ears for his messengers in our hour. So this is Ephesians 4, the duty of the fivefold ministry until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So the Son of Man came to sow seeds. In Ephesians 4, we see the true fivefold ministry will take that seed and break it down, that God then is obligated to make it manifest. The true life that is in the seed that the Son of Man planted, that is why I am so against the push-play doctrine, which is a false doctrine, because as long as the seed of God stays in seed form, it has no life. It has to be repeated. It has to be talked about and lived out in order to produce the life in it. Push-play is the seed, but the seed must grow up into him and all things. And if the ministry never talks about it to the people, we'll never get beyond a seed form. Here is no life yet. God said to Moses, speak and go forward. And if he would have never gone forward, nothing would have happened. The hat had to be on the chair in Brother Branham's vision. The word has to be planted and then growed up into him and express the very character of him. From Brother Branham, you must be born again. He's ready to take his word now. He's already spoken, and lay it in you and make it come to life. See, now you have your training now. You're ready to go into training now. Child training, that's the hard part. When you think you ought to do this, and the word cuts you around and shows you something else. From missionary talk, Brother Branham says, now what is the gospel? The word. Gospel means good news. The good news is the Bible, but the Bible is the letter. The letter killeth, and the Spirit giveth life. So Paul said, the gospel come not through word only, but through the power and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now notice, the only way that the gospel could be preached then would be to manifest the power of the Holy Spirit. Then what's the next quotation? And a conjunction. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not these signs may follow them. They ought to follow them, but they shall follow them that believe. Then, strictly speaking, a man cannot qualify himself as a believer until this has happened. No church can have the right of calling themselves a believing church until these signs have followed them. That's what Jesus said. What is it doing? It's making the word manifest. Jesus Christ the same. From Brother Branham. What? A vision. The Spirit of the Lord in his church. Now listen, friends, we could take hours at it, but what kind of faith was presented to the saints through Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said, the same things that I do shall you do also. Yeah. Along comes the apostles and did the same thing. What happened? What's happened? What went with it? What did he do? What was Jesus' last commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. And great signs and wonders was to take place. What happened to it? Our schools taught it out. We laid it aside. We adopted something else. Education. Education's a wonderful thing, but Jesus never did say that to be educated. Seminaries are wonderful. But Jesus never did ordain the church to make a seminary. Churches are wonderful to build, but Jesus never did tell the people to build churches. But he said, preach the gospel to all the world, and that we failed to do. What is the gospel? Well, you say, here it is in the Bible. No, no, no. That's part of it. That's the seed. But Paul said, the gospel came to us not through word only, but through the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. The words, all right. From Queen of Sheba, Brother Branham also quotes, I know that's thus saith the Lord, that the gospel, the same gospel that blinded the Jews is now blinding the Gentiles, because it is the same gospel. For there is no other gospel but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have many creeds, but there's one gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel came not in word only, but through power and demonstration, manifestations of the Holy Spirit, God making his word come to pass. It had to be that, for in Mark 16 he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. These signs shall follow. Or otherwise, go into all the world and demonstrate the power of the resurrection. He's not dead, but he's alive. And he's depending on you and I to let him work through us to will his will. And if anything we ever approach that's not scripture, you're duty bound to come tell me about it. It must come from the Bible, through the Bible. It must cope with the rest of the scriptures and be right. If it isn't, then we're ready to say that it is wrong. And if an angel or from heaven or anything else would come preach anything else that's not in the Bible, don't you listen to it. This is God's word and God's word only. And we know that it is true. So push or press play is not in the Bible. Paul did not say if you push play. He said if you say, not play. If you do not say what I said, you got to say it, or it will never release the life in it. Amen? Amen. Brother Branham uses a lot of analogies in his sermons, talking about the philosopher, the musician. Whatever spirit is in you will manifest. You don't have to try. I am me. You're you. The things that you do, that you say, they're just you. But they should be in accordance with his word. Amen? What we do, what we say, what we think. Amen? Question number 7. How many spirits does Jesus have in his body? Answer to number 7. This question comes from a brother from the Philippines, Brother Ryan Mendoza. How many spirits does Jesus have in his body? Answer to number 7. The Bible tells us that by one spirit we are baptized into one body. All dogs have a dog spirit. All sons have the spirit of a son unless they are perverted. God never had a son spirit. He is God the Father, but part of himself birthed for Son, Logos. When the Father indwelt his Son, notice that the Son could do nothing but what he saw the Father do. That is John 5:19 and John 5:30. He operated by visions like William Branham did. And the vision was the Father acting out the scene, so the Son saw the vision and followed suit. There, the Father was actually acting out the role for his Son to follow. Do you understand? Therefore, he had one spirit, or one God life. John was born with the Holy Spirit, and so was Jesus. He was born with God life. There is only one form of God life. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. See, there is one Lord, not two. There is one Holy Spirit. There is only holy life. So we are actually brothers if we are all born again. And Jesus is our eldest brother according to Romans 8:29 and John 20:17. My follow-up questions are question number 8, question 9, question 10. What kind of spirit Jesus have? When the Father dwelled upon him, what happened to his Son, the Spirit? Question number 10, how many spirit in the body of the Son? I need to ask these questions again because I want to understand it very well. Because in my understanding, the Father, the one true God, is the eternal Spirit, no beginning, no ending. He is the fountain of life. He is the Father of all spirits. Then the eldest Son has spirit of his own, and I thought that was the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that the truth, the way, and the life. I know God the Father is the Holy One. The attribute of being holy is in him from eternity. But it was manifest to the Son. That's why the Spirit of the Son called the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Answers to questions 8 through 10. 1, he was born with God's Spirit, God life. But then at the River Jordan, the person of God entered him. We all have his God life in us that are born again. When we say God's Spirit, we are talking about God's life. From a paradox, Brother Branham says, look here. She said, your father and I have sought you for day and night with tears. She was discredited her first testimony. She called Joseph his father. Now look at this 12-year-old boy, not knowing what he said. He was just a boy, but he was the Word. See, he said, now know ye not that I must be about my father's business? See, the Word corrected the error. See, she was giving testimony after he was raised up. It was all over now. Your father and I have sought you, going exactly what she had conceived this child by the Holy Ghost, and then calling Joseph the father, and this little boy, 12-year-old child, no wisdom at all. Why? But just at 12-year-old boy, the Bible says he grew into wisdom. So if he could grow into wisdom, then his statement is pure scripture. Then if he said the father didn't dwell in him at that time, because he come on the day when he was baptized him, he, John, saw the Spirit of God coming down, see, and went in him. But look, this 12-year-old boy being the Word, he was born the anointed one. See, then he makes the correction to the slip of the tongue and says to be the anointed. Now, I say slip of the tongue to show you the correction. It's either he was born anointed or anointed later on at the River Jordan. You can't have it both ways. And there he was. Know ye not that I must be about my father's business? She said, your father and I have been looking for you. If Joseph was his father, he'd have been with him on his business, making doors and houses. But he was in the temple straightening out these organizations. See, know ye not that I must be about my father's business? See how the word of God corrected that error in that child. Amen. God bless you. God is a spirit. We are flesh and bone. But God life is a portion, just like Jesus was a part of God to begin with. But that part of God had a God. That is why Paul called him the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Was it last Sunday you went over that with about 50 or 60 scriptures? Amen. Paul called him God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Branham from Attitude, who is God? So he first was God, Jehovah, and out of him, let's just picture now a little drama so you can get it. Let's see coming out of space where there's nothing. Let's make it a little white light, like a mystic light, like a halo. And that was the Logos that came out of God in the beginning. That was the Son of God that came out of the bosom of the Father. That was what was in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was God, and then out of God came the Logos, a part of God that went out of God. Let's notice this. Now, I have to make this before going back into it, just a little picture drama here for you a moment in order to get one point to you. What is in our midst tonight? Amen? God here with us. Fellowship by redemption. But a man has a soul, and therefore that soul is part of God. Amen? That's how we become eternal. We were with him before the foundation of the world. Mark of the beast, Brother Branham says, if you'd have to have the Holy Ghost or part of God down in your heart, sanctified like you was supposed to be, you'd have recognized that to be the power of God. For modern events made clear by prophecy, but the real ordained of God, that real gene, that real germ, a soul of God that was in God before the foundation of the world. Remember, you that's really got the Spirit of God in you tonight, you were here in Christ because He was the fullness of the Word. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Do you believe that? Look, he was in Christ. Then if you were in God, a gene, a word, an attribute from the beginning, then you walked with him here on earth. You talked with him on earth. You suffered with him on earth. You died with him at Calvary. And you rose with him again. And now you're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, communing with him, the Word, as it feeds into your soul, that man shall not live by every word that proceedeth. Amen? It's the soul that lives that was ordained of God. Amen. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God, eternal foundation of holiness, hath set forth the Spirit of his Son, the Holy Spirit born, come forth into your hearts, the soul, crying, Abba, Father. He was born a man, so God had to give him a body and soul. If you are born again, you have God life, but you are a son, not God himself. Amen. Acts 2:16, God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he wasn't born that way, and neither did it make two anointings. But by one Spirit we are born, and Jesus was baptized with the Holy Ghost in the river Jordan. On Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with the power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So if God anointed him, then he wasn't that way to begin with. Amen? That you could preach on for a really, really long time, basically asking the Godhead questions. Amen? We're eternal because he had our soul the whole time. Amen? That little bitty part of God, that's all that we're worried about. This life is nothing but a testing ground just to prove which destination you're headed for. Amen? Sons and daughters will manifest him. Amen? That's our job. We're all preachers in some form. Those people that are around you can only see Christ through his church. Amen? That's the definition that Brian mentioned this morning. All that God was, he poured into Christ, and all that Christ was, he poured into the church. Amen? God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for your word to us, Father. We hope that these questions and answers bring clarity, Father, once again to your word. Lord, we know our position, Father. We're just waiting for the manifestation of it, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us now as we enter into communion this evening, Father, that we may put ourselves aside, may put you first in all things that are said and done. Truly thank you for your word, Father. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Peter and Brother Josh, you'll be in charge of the food, the wine, and the bread. I have 21 poured, and I didn't do a count. Amen. St. John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, that ain't going to stay in there. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, that the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Amen. If he come from God and went to God, guess where we're going? Amen. That's right. He raiseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took the towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured into water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and saith unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken their garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given unto you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than him, than he that is sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Amen.